Let us now pray and commit our way to God as we study his word together. Break thou the bread of life to me, dear Lord. Break it to us here as you did to those beside the sea. May we hear you speak. May we see you at work. May we indeed be used by you for your glory. Amen. Well, do keep Romans chapter 16 and indeed Romans chapter 15, where we will be very shortly open in front of you so that we can study it together. But I wonder, as I begin this morning, have you ever been to a meeting of Christians where there's one of those really, really, really over-the-top, touchy-feely, huggy-lovey-dovey types? And the minute you enter the room, they're out of their chair, even though they're over there. And leaping up, they see you and they go, "Gaius, so good to see you!" And every face in the building suddenly turns to the door and is now looking at you, just in time for them to get there and wrap you in the biggest bear hug going. And this is a Christian brother and you love them dearly, but you have to admit, just put you on edge. You know, this isn't probably the way you'd have chosen to greet one another. Well, perhaps you don't need to have been there to be concerned. Perhaps you come from the other side of things. You know that the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And just like some of those young people with Ruth a few minutes ago, no, thank you. Can't go there. Don't want to do that. And you've rationalized the verse away. That was just the way they did it back then. And so long as it's a fairly limp handshake, you can cope. Okay? But Paul in Romans wants us to greet one another. He wants us to greet one another powerfully and positively. Okay? He doesn't want any limp handshakes, and he doesn't want any over-the-top, it's not really real, flam and emotion and show. He wants us to greet one another powerfully and positively. So my text for us this morning is Romans 15 and verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now the wise among you are immediately saying, how on earth did you get there when the title is greet, and you've just read about greeting, and you've just talked about greeting? Well, I will come to that, I promise you. But this word that is used here as accept is translated sometimes as greet, and it's right and proper for us to be doing this, I do assure you. Bear with me if you're not convinced yet. But let's hear this verse again. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Romans, you see, is a book written by Paul as both an explanation of the gospel that he preaches and a book that he desires will spread the gospel. So it is both. It's a defense, if you like, sometimes called Paul's gospel or Paul's apology, as he explains, this is the gospel I preach. But it is also a book which he wrote very explicitly in order to convey the gospel to other people, to make sure that they understand it and know it. And that's how God, the Holy Spirit, has used it many times, as it is preserved for us famously in the lives of many people we know in church history. They have come to the book of Romans and it has hit them four square between the eyes, and they've been woken up to the gospel that until that point in their life was hidden, as we read at the end. Well, it includes a wonderful opening explaining the righteousness of God revealed by Jesus. And then in the second half, it goes to explain and encourage men and women, boys and girls, to lead the sort of life that is right by God. To lead the sort of life that, when you've been transformed, when you've been saved, gives glory to God and reveals God again and again to the world. He says, this is Christ-like living. Live it by the strength of God, the Holy Spirit, and reveal Jesus, that others might know the truth and be saved. And in chapter 14, he begins to talk to the church and to say to them, some of you are strong in the faith and some of you are weak. And some of you find this Christian living easy and some of you find it hard. And he appeals to the strong particularly. Let's listen to the end of that appeal. We're going to read chapter 15 and the first 9 verses. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. So here is Paul saying, do what Jesus commanded you to do. And our text for the year, if you remember, is, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. John 13:35. And Paul says, as we look at how to put that into practice, here he says, one of the things we must do is accept one another or greet one another. Very briefly then, a bit of a word study, so make sure we understand what is intended. As we look at this first word here, accept, sometimes it's translated welcome. And we find it not just in Paul, but also in Peter's writing. We must ask ourselves, what does it mean? It literally means to take to one's self. So can I invite you to a buffet table of food, which is laid out for everybody. But what's the first thing you do when you get there? You take up a plate and you take some of it to yourself. And tradition, at least in this country after that, is that you don't then go picking off other people's plates. Well, I know some parents need to do that for their children, and some children like to do that to their parents. But the idea is the big table is for everyone, and we take some of it to ourselves. You could also use this word of a steward coming to somebody at a great event and taking them on one side. Could you please just come to one side with me? I need to ask you to do this, move your car, look after your child, or whatever it may be. That sort of thing sometimes happens. And finally, most importantly, it's used of admitting people into friendship. How many of you I know are on the social networking sites, perhaps the business networking sites? And you can find a lovely example of this here, because what happens, if you're not familiar with those things, is you send a friend request, or you get sent a friend request, and you have to accept that you want this person to be your friend. And that's really what this word means, confirming that I want to be your friend. And if those of you who are any contact with teenagers these days, you know the upset that can be caused when you defriend somebody. And actually say, well, do you know what? I'm confirming I do not want to be your friend at the moment. That apparently is quite powerful. But get a grip of that. Okay, that idea of confirming, of accepting friendship, of drawing someone to yourself. The other word is greet. And this word actually literally means enfold in your arms. So those of you who wish to justify not hugging from Scripture, you can't, using those verses, because the word actually means to enfold in the arms. But here's your way out. It also means to salute. So it's used of the military. I'm not going to pretend to salute. I wouldn't want to offend those who know how to do it. But what it certainly isn't is a glib, hello, okay? It's a very formal, very important word. The private salutes his commanding officer, and the officer returns the salute. And what's passing between them is not just a greeting, but it's an acknowledgement of rank, an acknowledgement of shared service, an acknowledgement of being part of the same army, doing the same thing, or it's a sign of respect to someone of similar rank in another army. So when we talk about welcome, we must be really careful that we don't talk just about warm, fuzzy feelings. Okay? Now, it's not wrong to feel welcome. It's not wrong to feel a warmth. But that feeling needs to flow out of the truths that lie behind it. That somebody has been taken in. They're not just on the table, the buffet table of the world. They've been brought in. They are chosen by God. That we're not talking about, hiya, here today, gone tomorrow. We're talking about, I salute you because we serve in the same unit. We're part of the same cause. So when someone feels warmly welcomed, I hope it's because of these deeper things that lie behind it. The word to greet, the word to welcome, the word to accept in Scripture is a powerful word, not just a warm and fuzzy word. It's a positive word. It means that we've taken an action. We have chosen to come together. That's why I like the Facebook idea of asking for a friendship and confirming a friendship. It makes it very, you can't misunderstand it really, although these days in the chase after having the most friends on Facebook or whatever people do, you can make it very glib and unimportant again. But the idea of both sides saying, I want to be your friend, yes, you are my friend. Powerful and positive assessment and commitment to one another. Now there's a problem with that sort of friendship, isn't there? Because it can hurt, can't it? When we go that deep, when we accept people in that close, when we're willing to open ourselves up and say, would you like to be my friend like this? We are taking a risk. Because we're offering and accepting people into a deeper level, into a place where in truth they can hurt us and we can hurt them. At this level, when we make mistakes, people sometimes cry. So we need to accept the cost of this level of friendship, of acceptance, of greeting. We must consider also what it means to be rejected, as I've hinted at as well. And it's that rejection that sometimes I think puts temptation in our way. I know what I'm supposed to do when I greet a brother or sister in Christ. I know the sort of friend I'm supposed to have and supposed to be, but I know it can hurt, and so I'm tempted to sort of arm's length, hold back a little bit, to avoid taking them into my heart, to avoid enfolding them in my arms. If I refuse to share with you at this level, you can't gossip my secrets because you don't know them. You can't make fun of my failings because I'm only told half of the things I'm tempted with to you. And so we seek to protect ourselves by not opening up. But at the same time, let's not forget what also happens when we fight shy of that full relationship, because I can only have half a friend. They can't fully pray for me because they don't fully understand me. They can't fully counsel me or encourage me because they don't understand me and I'm not sharing. We've got to fight shy of that temptation not to greet one another fully and freely. I think it's wrong when we do that. I mean, I understand that we need to grow in our friendships and work at these things, but when we positively fight shy and put up walls and barriers, that's going against this challenge of accept one another just as Christ accepted you. What distance he came to draw us to himself. Let's remember that. Let me just read to you from an old hymn we don't sing very often, but I think the words cause us to meditate on the barriers Christ crossed to come to us, the distance he came. Let earth and heaven combine. Angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. He laid his glory by, took form in mortal clay, unseen by human eye the hidden Godhead lay. Infant of days he here became, and bore the meek Emmanuel's name. See in that infant's face the depths of deity. Endeavour, while you gaze, to probe the mystery. Let even angels gaze no more, but bow and silently adore. Unsearchable the love that has our Saviour brought. His grace is far above the reach of human thought. It is enough that God, we know our God, is manifest below. Made perfect by his love and sanctified by grace, we shall from earth remove and see his glorious face. Then shall his love be fully shown, and we shall be complete in God. The joy, of course, of Christ coming so far is that we will have one day those perfect relationships We can look forward to that, and we must accept that at this point we may not have them, but we must work at them. And we must work at them as much as Christ worked at them to rescue us and draw us to himself. His sacrifice far outstrips anything we will ever do, but the challenge also far outstrips anything that we can ever do unless he do it in us. We must live sacrificially as he did. It's not easy to open up and welcome each other in this way and at this level, but we must. And it's not easy to bear the burden of friendship at this level and the challenge that we mustn't gossip and we mustn't tease one another and all of that. But Jesus did it, and Paul commands it. And a proper greeting, which is powerful and positive, reveals that this is how we feel for one another. And if we get in the habit of doing it, will help us to remind ourselves that when we're there, this is how we should be with one another. It cuts both ways, doesn't it? If this is how I feel when I meet you, I will greet you like this. And if on the day I don't quite feel like that, and I greet you like that, I'll be reminded that this is the way our relationship is and the way I ought to make it today. And perhaps if one approaches us to give us a greeting like that, and all of a sudden our heart goes hard and heavy, it's God saying to me, what do you have between you and your brother? Put it right now. The challenges of Matthew 5 and Matthew 18, to be right with one another, come out there. Well, as I said before, this passage is about the weak and the strong, and the therefore, or the then in verse 7, accept one another then, it draws us back to what has gone before. Challenges us that this is for everyone, not just for a chosen few. This is for ones who are strong in the faith, and it's for ones who are struggling in the faith. We've got to be challenged here about the way we greet different people. It's not right to say, good morning, how are you? It's lovely to see you, to one, to somebody else as we go flying past. We must be cautious that we don't create differences. As Paul writes to the Roman church, which we know is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, he's not saying Jews meet the Jews like this and Gentiles greet the Gentiles like this. He's saying everyone greet everyone like this. And that was quite a barrier to overcome. And let's not slip into the other one that we do. It's lovely to see you. Forced out without those teeth opening and without the lips cracking into a smile. If you don't feel like that, well, get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you change me? Help me. Let's not tell lies as we greet one another. My brother over here may, and I'm deliberately looking over here, I don't think there's any fellas over here either. My brother over here may smell a bit. He may wear clothes that I don't think even should be in a charity shop, let alone on a person. He may be scripturally ignorant. Does that change the way I greet him? My brother over here may dress so much better than me and have so much more than me and scripturally be head and shoulders above me. Does it change the way I greet him if he's a brother in Christ? It mustn't. It shouldn't. Now then, what about this act of greeting with a kiss? How are we going to do it is the question. Paul obviously feels he can do it in a letter. Good. But I don't propose we write it down and hand people bits of paper as we come to church in the morning. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? What we understand from this is the physical greeting that we give must represent all the things that we now know it means. So it needs to be powerful and positive. It needs to demonstrate the relationship that we have. Kissing was the social norm in Jesus' day. From the time Jesus visits the Pharisee's house in Luke 7, we understand that. We know that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And we know that the early church established the kiss as part of the liturgy. The early church fathers wrote about it. In fact, to this day, it remains in the Coptic church. And I found this very interesting. This is from their liturgy. We cannot enjoy reconciliation with God in Jesus Christ unless we have peace with one another. The Lord Jesus said, from Matthew 5, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. By this kiss, the congregation declare that they wish to be one family in Jesus Christ. And then after a time of prayer, the liturgy continues. Each person in the church turns towards the people around him or her and greets them with the holy kiss. This is done by touching the fingertips of the person next to you with your own hands and returning your fingertips to your lips and the kiss with them. Repeat for all the people around you. Now, I think that would be just as weird as us all going around and going, good morning, or trying to rub noses, don't you? But they have preserved this act within the church service, which follows and demonstrates the reconciliation, and is powerful and positive. I imagine if you went and did touch fingers like this with a lot of people, it would be very powerful, wouldn't it? Some of you may have experienced this. I didn't have a chance to ask you in the week, because is Russian Orthodox like that?
I was a member of the church I went to in France, where when you arrived, you would literally go along all the rows of people who were there and kiss them twice.
On the cheek, okay, everybody.
Every time
you met, yeah, okay. Well, these different traditions are weird, so what are we going to do here? I don't think we need to take the tradition of the Coptic Church or the French Church. But the more I think about it, the more I think we ought to be a bit more positive and a bit more demonstrative in our age. Now, perhaps you may think shaking hands has gone in culture. We don't do it half as much, do we? Maybe we can just get that back in the church and really give a powerful, solid, firm handshake. Is that what we should do? Is that how we should welcome people? I think we need to find a way to be positive and powerful. I went to my pastor's fraternal this week, and one of the guys there is really good at this. He does, the minute you come in the room, head up, eyes over, he's pleased to see you. You can see it written all over his face. He's on his feet. He doesn't wrap you in that big bear hug at 90 miles an hour, but his hand comes out firm. And he wants to shake you by the hand, and it'll go up as quick as you like if you offer him a hug, I promise you. But he's there, and he's engaged, and he's fully focused on you. And it's eye contact, and it's personal, and it's powerful, and it's positive. And boy, do you get a warm, fuzzy feeling straight afterwards. I can walk in that room sometimes, and pastors' fraternals can become pretty dreadful times of, oh, you know the people I've got. And we're all moaning at each other. But every time I walk in, I feel good because he up and he shakes your hand. That really is a powerful and a positive thing. And I think that's the sort of thing we should aim for. To be reminded here, finally, never for our benefit, in order to bring praise to God, is why we do this. This is so that the world can see. By this shall all people, let me get it right, I'm saying the wrong one again. By this all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, it's to show to the world what we have, that we're one in Christ. But the last seven words, never for our benefit, remind us we do it for the glory of God. It's very easy if we're a touchy-feely person to come to church because 20 hugs makes me feel good. Well, we don't do that here, but there are some churches, I'm sure, that are like that. I mean, I imagine the other end is true. It'd be very possible for somebody not to want to come to church because of that same sort of thing. Both of those attitudes are selfish. They're thinking about me, not about how I can reveal God to everyone else. We do it because we want God to have the glory. How does he have the glory if we shake hands or hug each other? It's because that greeting is the practical outworking of what has gone before. We discussed last week that we must forgive one another. This practical outworking says, I have forgiven you. I am forgiven in Christ. We are one. Let's be honest. It's so hard to say, sister, it's so lovely to see you, if just around the corner I was saying to someone else how terrible a gossip she is. I mean, those things don't add up, do they? You can't insult one person outside there and come in here and shake them by the hand, or maybe you can, and if you can I ask you to think deeply about that, because that's a challenging place to be. That's a strange and perhaps a sinful place to be. So when we greet one another, we're declaring that we have learnt last week's lesson. We're forgiven. We're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give the glory to God that he has brought us together. How often have we said, where else would you find such a mix of people as you do in the average Christian church where pauper and rich meet together, where those who live and work in London, those who live here and work in London, and those who live here as, you know, almost like a Suffolk market town, and we just walk around as, you know, there's such cultural differences, and yet we're brought together by God in here. So to greet is a powerful and a positive sign, and a reminder that we are forgiven and forgiving people who take one another to heart. The church of God's people really is one fellowship. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it challenges us. We thank you that it shows us again how Jesus Christ has accepted us, how far he came from heaven to earth to show the way. Father, help us please to understand and apply this truth in our lives and to one another. Help us to be a people who will indeed reach out and accept one another, to greet one another in this powerful and positive way, as a sign of what is true between us and as a reminder of what you have done for us, forgiven and forgiving. Father, help us, please, to serve you, to greet one another, to love one another, that the world may know, and that you will have the glory. Amen.